When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome into the FFSN NFL Draft Preview. My name is Jeremy Betts. Looking forward to talking with my good buddy Andrew Wilbar about the NFL Draft. We're going to cover a very special show here today, talking about two of the more dynamic position groups in the entire draft. We felt it would be a good idea to focus in on these two positions as we approach the draft cycle and breaking down individual teams and their needs. So Andrew, how we doing? We're going to talk some wide receivers and cornerbacks today.
I love breaking down these positions. Two of my favorite positions to evaluate, because a lot does have to do with athleticism, but at the same time, you got to have the instincts. You got to have the IQ to be able to play positions like these. It takes being on your toes all the time, every play.
Yes, absolutely. These are some of the best athletes on the field. I mean, if you ask defensive backs and cornerback gurus, they're going to tell you that's the most difficult position on the field. And then if you ask wide receivers, they would say that they're one of the most important positions on the field. And there's so many of them these days coming out of college that can provide you instant impact on your offense because of the wide open college concepts, the ability for these guys to transfer in and out of good positions. So it just all accounts for passing games that are well developed heading into the NFL, especially when you're talking about the pass catchers and the pass defenders. So let's start with the pass catchers, Andrew. What we're going to do in this show is we're going to do our tiers for the wide receivers and then the cornerbacks in the second portion of the show. But let's start with these wide receivers, Andrew. There seems to be kind of a consensus tier one with three names in it, but you deviate from that a little bit and tell us why.
I think Marvin Harrison is just on a different level. I think his athleticism, his pedigree, obviously the bloodlines with his father, and just the maturity he has as a route runner. Yes, Malik Nabers is explosive, and he's not a bad route runner. Yes, Romo Dunze is a good physical receiver and isn't a terrible route runner for his size. But the smoothness in movement is just on another level for Marvin Harrison Jr. He flows like butter. He's so smooth. He's so slick in and out of his cuts in the open field. He has the speed to get deep. there were a few drops on tape, but really, I don't think that's a major issue. I don't want this to sound like a Jerry Jeudy thing again. I was really high on Jerry Jeudy the year that he came out. He didn't turn out quite what I had expected him to be, but I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is better than that. He has more size than his father. He has a very similar play style. I think this guy is on a different level. I have him a slightly higher than Neighbors and Odunze, enough for me to have that separate tier for Neighbors and Odunze all by themselves on tier two.
There just isn't a cleaner prospect in the whole draft class, what regardless of position, than Marvin Harrison Jr. And I think we forget right. that a little bit. We go back and look at these other guys and we say, well, you know, they show a lot of the same elite traits, a lot of the same things that we've grown accustomed to with Marvin Harrison Jr., but you've seen that with him for so long now, you're just used to it. That's just my opinion on it. And so that's why these guys get lumped together a lot. I like Odunze more than Neighbors personally. I think Odunze is an elite wide receiver in the making, but all three of these guys, they really do project to me to be day one starting wide receivers and guys who can push as their team's wide receiver one right away, or at least by the end of the year. So you've got a good two tiers here, Andrew, but you know, those guys, whether they're in the same tier or not, they do still stand apart from the rest of the crowd. But who do you have next in your next tier of guys?
Well, tier three is where it gets really interesting, because this is the spot where most people would say, okay, you have kind of a break here. You have Brian Thomas, maybe Xavier Worthy in this mix. Some people have those guys flip-flopped. Adonai Mitchell, some people would throw in this. I don't have enough separation within the rankings of these guys. We'll get into the specific ranking of them, I'm sure, by the time we get to the draft, once the rankings are finalized. But I don't see enough separation between Brian Thomas and the late first round guys to really separate them in a tier. So I've got Brian Thomas Jr., Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Leggett, and Ladd McConkey all in that tier three. I've got first round grades on all of those guys, but they're all like that mid to late first round. Like Brian Thomas Jr. maybe in the 15 to 20 range. The other four guys are maybe Xavier Worthy cracks top 20. Other than that, all the other guys, including Worthy, probably going to be between 20 and, you know, 25, depending on how many first round grades I have. We'll see how many we have, but they're going to be bunched in tightly toward the back end of that top 25. End of those first round grades, the kind of mid to late first round grade. So I'm very excited to see what's going to happen with this group. There's obviously going to be the busts. And I think the ones who have the highest probability of a bust would be, say, a Brian Thomas Jr. or a Xavier Worthy. And that's why I'm a little bit lower on them than what I was before the combine, just because their workouts in general wasn't like they wowed you. It was just the speed. And that's what always scares me. When they're explosive, when they have explosive jumps, they're explosive in every category. It's like, okay, this guy's an explosive athlete. When it's just the speed, it's a little bit concerning. Is this guy a complete receiver, or did he just get away with everything in college because he was just playing faster than everyone else? And you got to have more than just speed in the NFL to be able to win. You have to have some other trait to help complement that. So that's kind of why I kept them all in the same tier. I'm not sure. How would you have this, Jeremy? If you were setting up these tiers, where would you have them, and which receivers maybe would have you left out of this tier?
I might have left Xavier Worthy out. I know the speed is crazy, but the weight is just, it just scares me a little bit, you know. And you're talking about a guy that, again, just like you said, if speed's all you got, then eventually somebody's going to catch you, and you better be able to do something about that because you're not always going to be lining up in a race with people. It's not a race. Mm-hmm. Football's not a race. It is a contact sport. There is nuance to it. And defenses know how to shut down pure speed if that's all you got. So to me, it's Xavier Worthy that while I would probably keep him in the list, he would be probably my first one off if I were to take one off. Ladd McConkey to me is an impressive athlete. I mean, you cannot knock him for athleticism with any of these guys. He looks like he belongs, and he's a guy that to me, if you're looking and you're in the back half of the first round and you just want to make a draft pick that's going to work, Ladd McConkey is the type of player you draft in the back end of the first round. If you're the Buffalo Bills and you just want to land somebody that is going to work, you go get a Ladd McConkey. If AD Mitchell is still there, you go get an AD Mitchell. You know, those are the kind of guys to me that it's like the hit rate is so high on these guys, on these wide receivers in the first round, in the back half of the first round and early in the second round, that if you're like a GM that doesn't quite know if he's going to be around, if he doesn't have a good draft, then just go get one of these guys in the first round. It's going to make you look good. So those are my two guys. If I had to ask you this question, Andrew, of those tier three guys, who has the highest ceiling to you?
I would say, I would say Xavier Leggett. Brian Thomas is close. I think Brian Thomas has the ceiling to be able to fill out some of the spots of his game that are a little bit incomplete at this point. But I really do like, overall, I do like his game. I would say Leggett has maybe the highest upside because you can't teach that size with that speed, the thickness. Like, we're talking a guy I believe has A.J. Brown-type potential in the NFL in Xavier Leggett. Similar play style. He's got good hands. Not maybe the crispest of route runners, but he's pretty good for a guy who's 225 pounds. Receiver being able to stop that quickly. Compare that with another guy that was about 225, 230 coming out in DK Metcalf, a little bit bigger than that. And, you know, I love DK Metcalf, but he did struggle with his stop and start ability, with his ability to come back on comeback routes. You know, it's difficult for a receiver that big to be able to do it. And Leggett, he's actually not bad. My concern with him is that he was just a one-year wonder. But I would say of those guys, Leggett has the highest upside, McConkey the highest floor. And if you want, you know, you have the – any of these guys have the athleticism to be good deep threats in the NFL, depending on how they're utilized. But they're deep threats in different types of ways. Like Leggett is going to be a guy that's going to win on contested catches down the field, maybe not quite as much after the catch, where Brian Thomas is going to be the street guy who's going to run away from you. Or even if you're one-on-one in coverage, if you're across the middle of the field, you run a deep post. He has the shiftiness to outdo a corner one-on-one in the open field. You don't want to be stuck on him one-on-one when he has the ball in his hand. Xavier Worthy's going to be, you got to catch me.
Yeah.
And then Ladd McConkey, just so shifty. He's a guy that can catch an underneath pass and take it 20, 30, 40 yards after the catch, just with his ability to maneuver in between blocks and being able to get around and just has that great field vision at wide receiver. I think all these guys have their own different abilities to be able to be deep threats in the NFL, but separate from their speed, outside of maybe, say, Xavier Worthy, who's going to have to win with his speed because there's only so much you can do to add weight. Even if he adds, okay, if he adds 15 pounds, how good is his speed anymore? Is he still running in the 4.2s? Probably not, which 4.3 is still plenty fast. But, you know, it takes a lot of work to be able to go to add a good 15 or so pounds to that frame and still have that same speed. It's virtually impossible.
Yeah, I agree. Going back to Xavier Leggett, to me, he's a little bit bigger Deebo Samuel. That to me is the type of skill set I see him having. That's the type of role I see him excelling at. It's kind of just your do-it-all guy who can work over the middle of the field, who can take the screen pass all the way. I mean, that is legit speed for such a big guy. And in the open field, I think he is a potential monster. So there may be some people who are like, this is Treylon Burks. I don't know if that's going to work out. But to me, Leggett has a little bit more under the hood than Treylon Burks did. So I really like him. Let's move on to tier four here real quick for you, because it's just so deep. This class is amazing. And, you know, we've got to talk about one of my favorite receivers in the draft, Ricky Pearsall, who lands in this group. And you've got some other guys that are guys to watch in this group as well.
Yeah, Pearsall is right at the top of this group. I love Ricky Pearsall. He's a worker. He's a fighter. He's physical for his size. He's a guy that he and Ladd McConkey are two guys that you get that sense. They're going to come in year one. They're going to produce. They're going to be the guys that are going to make all the GMs look foolish at the beginning. That doesn't mean the GMs will remain foolish. You may have a Brian Thomas who gets off to a slow rookie season and then pops on the scene in year two or year three. And you're just going to be more patient with a guy like that. But when you're looking at a guy like McConkey or a guy like Pearsall, which I consider putting in tier threes right at the top of tier four, I think he's another guy that could toy with that late first round, maybe early second. I think he's top 40, top 45 pick at worst at this point. He just has such a good work ethic. He's produced at two schools. That's not an easy thing to do. Herm Edwards raves about him. Florida team loved Pearsall when other guys did not come to play at all. He still showed up and produced in a big way for them. And there's a lot of drama surrounding Florida over the last couple seasons, but he still showed up, and specifically this past year. But Keon Coleman is another guy. A lot of people are writing off because of that 4.6 plus 40. But when you watch him on tape, he's faster than that. You just kind of have to trust the tape at this point. You can't allow the combine to overrule what you see on tape. Would he have been higher if he would have run a fast 40? 100%. But I'm not going to say this guy's a third, fourth round grade at this point. No, I still have a second round grade on him, and I think he's going to be a very good NFL receiver. You just need to have a good complementary guy on the outside. We're not going to pepper him with too many targets early on. Let him get his feet under him and let him just make sure that his conditioning is all good, everything like that. And he's a good worker. So, you know, he's going to come in probably with a chip on his shoulder. The fact that he's highly likely not to go in the first round, despite having a really good season in 2023. But Malachi Corley is a guy that's gaining a lot of love. I wouldn't put it out of the realm of comprehension if he goes late one. I have him as a second round grade right now. I think that's a safer spot for him. If you're looking for a guy, could be more of like a Brandon Ayuk in the NFL. He doesn't have quite the wingspan of an Ayuk. But if you're talking about just similar to play style, he's a little bit more thickly built. He can work underneath, but he has the physicality to be able to play on the outside as well. He can line up anywhere. Really like Malachi Corley's game. And then I mentioned two guys that... One guy I'm higher on than some, Roman Wilson from Michigan, who I think this is that's the fair tier for him to be in that second round range toward the back end of this tier. But a guy that I've kind of dropped that a lot of people are much higher on is Troy Franklin from Oregon. He had an okay 40 time. Well, the rest of his workout was not that impressive at the combine. And when you watch him on tape, sometimes he struggles to come back on routes. There's not a bunch of drops, but there's a couple. And there's a couple times where it's like, those were catchable balls. How did he not come down with that? Or how did he just, was it just a lack of awareness coming back? Was he just not ready for the ball to be there? There's just some questions I have with Troy Franklin's game. I'm not as confident in Franklin as I am some of these other receivers. That's why I bumped him down the board. He's going to be in that wide receiver 12 to 15 range probably for me by the time when it's all said and done. Things can always change. But as of right now, he's, I believe, my wide receiver 14, 13, or 14 in that range. He's really dropped a bit on the board. He's one guy that I think stock has dropped just because of the depth of this class. He's going to be negatively affected by it.
Yeah, man. There's so many guys. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that deep into the third and fourth round, you're finding starting receivers this season. So I think that teams are well positioned, and it would surprise me if we see, I know free agency is going on right now, so and by the time you listen to this, maybe there have been a few, but it would surprise me to see huge wide receiver contracts this offseason.
One name that I didn't mention that just missed this tier but could very well work his way in, that I think is going to go higher than a lot of people are talking about, is Jermaine Burton from Alabama.
Yes.
A guy that's completely flown under the radar because, you know, when you think of Alabama wide receivers, you're thinking of all the greats, right? Yeah. Burton never really got to that level, but he's a guy that has physicality. He's got good hands. He's stepped up in big moments. He's pretty clutch for Alabama down the stretch. I think this is a guy that may go. I think there's a very high probability he goes second round. I know not everyone can go second round, but I think there's going to be a lot that do. He may not ever be a wide receiver one, but I think he could be a very good wide receiver two in the right system. I think of a team like Tennessee, depending on what they do, they need a wide receiver. A team that, you know, Atlanta, I'm thinking all the teams that really, ironically, Arthur Smith, who is now the offensive coordinator of the Steelers, has gone to. Yeah. It's another guy that could work on the outside. Maybe not the biggest guy, but a guy who plays bigger than his size on the outside. Also has a little bit of shiftiness underneath. I don't love him as a prospect, but I like him. And I think he's not getting as much recognition is what people should be giving him credit for. I think a lot of people have him as this late third, early fourth round guy. I don't think he's going that late. And you're seeing some of the national pundits start to give him a little bit of attention. But I think just you, those of you fans that are listening to us, pay a little bit of attention to Jermaine Burton. Don't be surprised if he's a top 64 pick.
I wouldn't be surprised at all myself. All right, final question on the wide receivers here for you, Andrew. Who is wide receiver you? Which school is wide receiver you?
Is this a comment for you or a I mean, I'm not going to say the O word, that dirty O word on the show. We're not.
That's the only answer. That's the only answer. It's the Ohio State Buckeyes. They are wide receiver. You. That is the only answer.
I can't disagree with that. I'm just not going to say that blasphemous word on the show. But
yeah, make me say it. Okay, sounds
go
good.
Blue.
All right, hey, let's move on to the other side of the ball, Andrew. The defensive backs. This is where it gets really fun for me because I love watching these cornerbacks. If I had to pick a day to go to the combine, if I'm going to go to the combine, it would be for defensive backs because I love watching these guys move. Their drills to me are the most fun to watch. And we've got some good ones this year too. And I think you're starting to see some separation from the tier one type guys to the next groups. So let's start there. Where do you draw the line? Your tier one guys, give them to us.
I've only got two on that tier one. And there's even a little bit of a separation between the two. I have Quinyon Mitchell as my clear CB1 in this draft.
Yeah.
Tyrion Arnold's not light years behind though. Like yeah. I do have Quinyon Mitchell several slots higher in my overall rankings than Arnold, but Arnold has good instincts. He knows how to match up against different types of receivers, I should say. You know, the SEC employs receivers differently depending on which team you face. And you have some guys that should be slot receivers in the NFL that align outside on occasion, and he finds a way to get handsy with them, but not in a way that he's going to get penalized for it. He did have his share of penalties this past season. But I think even if you look at Joey Porter Jr., a guy that has that type of play style, you can't allow that to be as, you know, we can't draft this guy because he's a little bit too aggressive. We saw what Joey Porter did last year. Yes, he did have a share of penalties, but the reward was much greater, and the Steelers saw that they have a CB1 of the future in Joey Porter Jr. I think you're going to see the same in Tyrion Arnold. We've seen a lot of Alabama corners that have come out. I don't think he falls to a team like Baltimore at the back end, but we know they love the Alabama players. Green Bay's another team in the back end that needs a corner. We'll get into team fits in the coming weeks of the show, but I think that Tyrion Arnold's a guy that people that rely solely on combine numbers are like, oh, move Nate Wiggins up. Oh, DeGene would have tested well. Move him above Arnold. Arnold's number four, right with, you know, the Kool-Aid McKinstry's and guys like that. I still have him up on tier one.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Those two guys kind of have separated themselves. And I'm a huge Quinyon Mitchell fan. I really am. I think that he's the all-around guy in this draft class that you can do a little bit of whatever with him. And Tyrion Arnold, I like him as well. I think both of those guys end up as top 15, 16 picks in the draft. And then from there, it's kind of a pick your style, right? Tier two is kind of a pick your style. Give us those guys.
Tier two, I'm just going to keep the one guy on. I thought about putting the other guys in there, but there's more separation between Nate Wiggins and Cooper DeJean than there was Cooper DeJean, Nate Wiggins, and the rest of the tier three guys. I felt Wiggins was closer to that tier three just because I'm concerned about that slight frame, only 173. He's going to have to add weight. I believe he's capable of that. I believe he has good instincts. I'm not writing him off, but I don't like him enough to move him into the first round. He wasn't a big enough playmaker to make huge differences in multiple games. Like when you turn on Clemson's tape, you're not watching Nate Wiggins turn games around week after week after week. You saw a couple big plays, but he wasn't this clutch corner that was coming in at key moments all the time. You saw a couple, but not a lot. And Cooper DeJean is a guy. The reason he's not on tier one is because he's very inexperienced playing close to the line. He plays a lot of off man and zone. I believe he's best as a zone corner. I believe he's almost exclusive as zone. Yes, he has great athleticism, but it takes more than athleticism to line up as man. It takes the quickness, the physicality, and the hands. And that's a big thing with DeJean. How are his hands at the line of scrimmage? Can he jock for that position within that 1 yard? And that's something we haven't seen a whole lot, since that he didn't have to do much in college just because of the scheme he was in. Maybe he's capable of it. Maybe he's not. I don't see him as a guy that's lining up in a whole lot of press man in the NFL. I just don't. He's a great athlete. I think he's best in zone where his instincts can thrive and he can make plays on the ball. That's where he's going to make his money. I think if you're a zone team in the back end of the first round, I think if you look at the schematic changes Green Bay has made, I think Green Bay would be a great fit for Cooper DeJean in the back end of the first round. But not every team's going to be a fit for him. But he is the next guy on that tier. I believe if you are of that heavy zone or off-man scheme, I believe DeJean is a guy who can be a CB1 for you. He is not a guy, if you wanting to become more press, be a little more aggressive in coverage, he's not your guy.
I would say for DeJean, it's that versatility that really stands out to you for him.
Yes.
He can play because safety. Of the, yeah, the multitude of positions he can play. You can literally keep him on the field on every down and disguise your coverages.
Yes.
I mean, it's a defensive coordinator's dream, really, to be able to have a guy like him who you can just leave out on the field. I think of a team like my Pittsburgh Steelers, like our Pittsburgh Steelers, who, you know, Terrell Austin loves to disguise his coverages on the back end. And I'm not saying he's necessarily a scheme fit, but if you had two players like Cooper DeJean and Minkah Fitzpatrick playing on the field at the same time, that type of combo gives you a lot of different looks that you can do without taking either guy off the field. So if you're a team that plays a little bit more zone coverage and you've already got a star player that can work in multiple different roles, then I think that he's the type of player that you would look to say, hey, we can really confuse quarterbacks. If we've got Cooper DeJean plus another versatile guy on our back end, we can keep these guys out on the field at the same time and rotate them in and out of positions to really screw up the visuals for the opposing quarterbacks. So that is his appeal, in my opinion, and one of my favorite players in this draft class. Okay. So he's your only tier three guy there. So tier two guy. Let's move on to the tier three guys. Cause this kind of seems to be where they pile up though.
Yeah. I've got Nate Wiggins at the top of this tier, but not by a lot. Ennis Rakestraw didn't run fantastic, but the tape, again, you can't get too overwhelmed by that. I know you would have liked to see him run a little bit faster than that. He's a guy that I see almost like a Cameron Sutton type player in the NFL. I think that's a good comparison for him. A guy who can play inside or out, not the most physical receiver, but a guy who's going to be smart in coverage, is going to make good decisions on the football, knows when to break on it, knows when to not, can play in both man or zone. I like Ennis Rakestraw as a day two pick. Not sure if I would take him in round one at this point. Kamari Laster, you have the big concerns. How well can he run? You have the speed concerns. You also have the speed concerns with TJ Tampa as well, which ironically, a guy that he kind of reminds me of a little bit coming out of college is a guy who was just traded from Tampa, and that's Carlton Davis.
Yeah.
He's a guy that I see a little bit of Carlton Davis in his game, a bigger body that may not have top-end speed, but a guy who is smart, a guy who knows how to use his hands at the line, who knows how to overcome any athletic deficiencies he may have with his smarts, with his length, being able to use those long strides to catch up if he does lose the battle for position at the line of scrimmage and gets beat by a half a step. He can make that up, despite maybe not having track speed. He knows how to track the ball. I do like TJ Tampa's game. I haven't finished going through the tape with him. I need to watch a little bit more. I'm not completely sold on his game, but I like him as a day two pick. Again, just not a guy you really want to take in that round one like you're seeing in some mock drafts. But Max Melton is a guy that is rising boards. This is kind of where the tiers kind of meet. A lot of people's tiers, you know, they will have a Tampa or a Rakestraw in that upper tier and Melton in that next tier. This is where I think they're trending right toward the middle. They're about to meet in the middle. Rakestraw could have gone a little bit higher. Tampa could have gone a little bit higher if he would have decided to run the 40. Rakestraw, if he would have run a faster 40. Now you have the guys like Max Melton who tested really well. And you go back and watch the tape. And he wasn't bad. I know that Rutgers doesn't get a whole lot of national attention. But you look at some of the prospects that they have developed on both sides of the football recently. The prospects that they do develop do a pretty good job. And they seem to stick. So Max Melton's a guy, he's got high football character, obviously has the bloodlines. Bo Melton is a wide receiver on the Packers, was a 7th-round draft pick last year. He's a guy I really like. And then there's two more, Jeremy. Kool-Aid McKinstry, he's dropped off a bit just because, again, you have those athleticism concerns. You know, what is he from game to game? There's a lot of inconsistency. There's some games where you're looking at Alabama and he's like, man, this guy could be a legit CB1 in the NFL. And then there's other times, man, he got a little bit bullied on that play. Maybe he needs to add a little bit more weight. What's he going to do to be more physical? Is he below a 4.6 in the 40? Like, there's so many questions with his game. You always root for a guy named Kool-Aid. I mean, you got to love a guy like that.
Yeah.
But there's a high bust potential with Kool-Aid McKinstry as well. And that's what I'm concerned about. And the last guy on this list, this is the big tier, is Mike Sander still from Michigan. He's getting a lot of comparisons to Mike Hilton of the Cincinnati Bengals, a guy who's been a nickel corner in the NFL for a long time, who can do a little bit of everything. But I would say the biggest thing about Mike Sander still is that he is clutch. Whether you take away the Ohio State game, whether you take away games at big moments in the semifinals, in the finals, he always comes up in big moments. He's clutch. He is a leader. Jim Harbaugh loves this guy. Wouldn't surprise me if the Chargers drafted him. I think that he's a guy that's going to come in. Everyone in the locker room is going to love him. He's going to set the tone immediately. It's not easy to change positions, Jeremy, in the middle of college.
Yeah.
At wide receiver, they asked him to change the defense. He willingly did it. He's lined up all over. He can even align a little bit free safety. I don't ideally like that, but he can play the nickel. He's going to be a good nickel corner in the NFL. Limited to that, but a guy that if you need a nickel corner on that in that third round, if he's still there, that is excellent value. A guy that you're going to get, guy that may be in the league for 10 to 15 years and be like, why didn't we draft that guy sooner? Oh, yeah, he could play on the outside. Well, he's a Pro Bowler as a slot receiver. Yeah. Are you really disappointed with that in a third round pick?
Absolutely not. And to me, he's the best nickel in this draft class. And when you're talking about getting the best player at his position in round three, that's huge value to me, no matter what that is, especially with as much package football, sub-package football as teams play in the league nowadays. Okay, so I've got to ask you a question here before we go, just real quick. Where's my man Kyrie Jackson? Where does he sit in your rankings here? I love me some Kyrie Jackson. I think he's going to be a good pro.
I have not finished the tape on him, so I can't fully say right now he's in tier five, but that's because I haven't fully gotten through the tape with him yet. I haven't finished his evaluation. He is a guy that seems to be getting a lot of love in that mid-round range, third-round range, I'd say probably is where he's most likely to go as of right now. We've talked about so many guys.
Yeah.
That just shows there's going to be one or two of these guys that are maybe more than one or two of these guys, a handful that are going to be sitting there when we are talking on day three of the draft. I mean, it's just bound to happen. Some of these guys that we're like, this guy's going to go second round, third round. How are they still available in the fourth round?
Yeah.
We're like 120 and this guy's still on the board. That's what happens when you have a deep draft. Not everyone needs corners and receivers. So, you know, you can only have so many until you have teams that are either drafting duplicates of the same position or you have teams that don't need it and they don't plan on drafting any at all. So when you have positions that are this deep, like you have specifically at wide receiver, but corners fairly deep as well, I think that you're going to have guys that, depending on play style, you're going to have guys that are schematic fits that are going to be starters in the league that you're going to see going round four or five. You may even see an undrafted free agent, a seventh round pick that's going to come in and be like, what happened to this guy? He just got lost in the shuffle. It wasn't that he deserved to go that late. It's because there's so many of them. Not everyone can take one that early.
A la Corey Price last
year.
Yep. Very similar. And as Steelers fans, we are tracking that very closely. But
yes.
Hey, Andrew, this was fun. And I really like doing deep dives into these positions like this. We don't always get a chance to do that. But when you're talking about such deep positions, you've got to get a little bit bigger perspective of what you're looking at here. And to me, this, as it always turns out in the draft, stylistic approach to how you build your team and to how you play offense or defense is going to dictate value of a player to you as well. So a lot of times we can tier these guys, we can rank these guys, and we can have a pretty good idea of who is better than who and who we prefer to who. But once you get these teams out here attacking it from so many different angles and from such a different depth and layer than what we can do as analysts or, you know, draft gurus, if you will, that even pour over the tape, you start to get the discrepancies in rankings, and you start to get guys who you might have in tier five going in round two. That's how this type of stuff ends up. So I would just encourage fans out there, as you're listening to podcasts like ours, as you're listening to the hype of these players, and then draft day comes around, don't set your grades too quickly, because teams are looking at it from a different angle than we are, and there's just so much to cover, especially when you talk about positions this deep. Andrew, it was fun. We're going to be back next week. We might be breaking down some teams and individually based on their free agency moves and how the team needs are kind of focusing in a little bit after free agency, the first couple waves. We might get into that. There's some other topics that we're looking to discuss on this show before the draft. I think we've got like six shows left to go before draft day. So it's coming up pretty quick. Looking forward to doing more with you. Any final thoughts before we head out?
I don't. Let's just get this draft here. Yeah. We still have a lot of mock drafts to get through, but I'm ready.
Yeah, check out my mock draft on the FFSN network. So fansforsports.com, check that out. Had a lot of trades, had a lot of offensive tackles, a lot of wide receivers go in that draft. So check that out. Andrew's going to have more of those as well. That's going to do it for us here on the FFSN NFL Draft Preview. Until next time.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.